Red FM's Big Red Bench. Red FM.
For all the best in sport, tune in every Saturday and Sunday from 6 and check us out online, redfm.ie/Big Red Bench.
Yeah, it was complete and utter shock, I have to say. It's fantastic. I'm, you know, very, very honoured, especially to be amongst some fantastic athletes and administrators in sport here this evening.
Just looking back in the 2013 that you had, can you describe it? Can you put it into words?
I think it's really hard to put it into words. There's been, you know, there's been so much hard work gone on, I suppose, for the past 10, 15 years in Irish women's rugby. And it just came to fruition last year, and I suppose I was one of the lucky ones that was involved in it, and it was mind blowing. It was just superb. It really, really was.
Yeah, because we spoke to Laura Guest pretty much after all of the games and after you won it and stuff, and the message that came across was that it wasn't just for the squad who won the Six Nations in the Grand Slam last year, it was actually for everyone who contributed for maybe 10 years before that. Like that just seemed to be the message that was coming across.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, I suppose the group of players that are involved are, for me, of course, I'm always going to say it, but they're a very, very special group of players, and they're people who don't forget about the hard work that others have done before them.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's about 10 years of hard work coming to fruition in 2013.
Why do you think that was? Because, like, obviously people would think maybe 2-3 years before them, but, like, when Laura was speaking, I know I've heard you being interviewed on RT and all these places, and you do go back, like, that far 10 years ago. Why do you think that is with this particular team?
So we're lucky enough to have some players that have been playing for the past 10 years, the likes of our captain Fiona Coughlin and Lynn Cantwell, and the players that were playing with them back in the day as such are players that paved the way. Back in those days, the players used to, everything was paid for out of their own pocket. So, you know, when they were going to training camp for a weekend, they'd be staying on people's floors. You know, they paid for their own transport or their B&Bs wherever they were going. So to come from there to where we are now, when we're integrated into the IRFU fully now, so we've got massive support from the IRFU, it's really important to note that it's come from there.
And the exposure you're getting now as well, RT, you're screening your games live, there's a lot more attention on you. It's fantastic for the game in the country, isn't it?
It is. It's absolutely superb. I suppose success breeds success, and success, you know, attracts attention as well, which is fantastic. And it's not just about women's rugby, it's about women's sport in general. Mm-hmm. I think anybody involved in women's sport will always say that they want to support other females within sporting codes. So for us, it's absolutely fantastic. Fingers crossed we kick on and the media attention continues to come in, and it can only be positive. It can help grow our own code of sport, which is rugby, and other sports.
What about the defeat to England in Twickenham? Was that a huge setback, or did you obviously always expected it to be a huge battle, didn't you?
Yeah, we went into the match over in Twickenham knowing that it was going to be a really, really difficult battle. Obviously, the English were beaten in Twickenham in November in their autumn internationals, so they were hurting over that, and we knew going back to Twickenham that, you know, that coupled with the fact that we beat them last year in Ashburn, you know, they were going to be gunning for blood.
Okay.
But that aside, you know, encounters against England are always very, very difficult, and we knew that it was going to be a tough battle. Unfortunately, the result didn't go our way, but again, going back over 10 years, it's massive, the progression that has occurred. You know, the days of being beaten 70 or 80 nil to England are long gone, but it's not the end. The championship is still wide open. It's about the character, about bouncing back, and we've got all to play for when we play in the Aviva next weekend against Italy. The championship is still there for the taking.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. How do you bounce back? What was said in the dressing room after the England game?
Well, look, it's about fixing the mistakes, or fixing what went wrong, and then focusing on Italy. I suppose England is done. There's nothing that can be done about it now. Only learn from the mistakes on the field and bring them into the England game and put them right. Mm-hmm. So it all focuses on Italy now, and we'll take it one step at a time. Italy followed by France.
And stepping out on the Aviva is going to be a pretty special day as well, isn't it?
It is, absolutely. It's the first time that the women are going to set foot on the turf of the Aviva, so it's going to be a monumental occasion for them. So fingers crossed, we're just going to get a lot of people that will stay behind after the men's game kickoff is at 5 o'clock, so you know the bars will be staying open. People can have a few drinks and you know kick back and wait for the women to come out on the pitch. And I've got no doubt that it'll be a cracker of a game. So fingers crossed we can put a great show on.
John, first and foremost, a massive congratulations. What does it feel like to win a Hall of Fame award?
It feels like I'm getting old, I think, you know, but still not retired. So that's a great honour. Just this is my local parish here. I was born a mile and a half here from this hotel, you know, so it's great. And it's nice to be recognised at home, because a lot of what we do is in the international stage. We don't get a lot of outings here in this country, you know, so it's great. And delighted to be honoured. It's great. I totally came out of the blue. I knew nothing about it. I got a phone call last week, and so very honoured.
I suppose let's just look at the kind of immediate past, really. I suppose just talk to us maybe about what you've been up to in the last 12 months.
We're basically doing the, you know, the sailing circuit, like, which is basically the Sailing World Cup, which is based around events that happen January, Miami, here, Toulon, in the south of France, April. We're Holland in May. We'll do the World Championships in Halifax, Nova Scotia, and then if you go back, we had the World Championships in Kinsale last year, which is great. Yeah. We were home for all the summer and we were sailing at home in the World Championships. And, you know, I have a new team, you know, Anthony Hagerty, who sailed with us for about 7 or 8 years, is retired. Yeah. And I've got a new crew on board. So Ian Costello, that's sailed with me since 2010 from Killorgan and Kerry, is still with me. So we're working, you know. I've decided to give one last go and have a go off of Rio, so we're working towards that.
And like, there's obviously a qualification process for all that, is there?
Yeah, the first qualification, though, there's 7 country slots available in Canada at the World Championships in August, and then there'll be a further 6 slots available in Melbourne. So there's 13 slots plus Brazil, the home country, so there'll be 14 nations in the Sonar Paralympic sailing event. You know, so it's slots are scarce, you know.
Like, how confident would you be of getting one?
We've been in the top 10, you know, for the last since London. Basically, we've been in the top 10 in all the events, you know. So we're hoping to get a qualification over this year, and then we can work on team building through the for the next 2 years, you know. So that'd be the ambition, is to qualify in Canada this year.
Like, just in terms of the sport and the equipment and the boats and stuff, like, from when you started in sailing and up to now, like, has it changed immeasurably in a way?
I suppose the boats haven't changed, you know, because, you know, but the finesse and the trim of the boats and the expertise into the sail making and stuff like that that goes in at Paralympic level is enormous. Like, we spent, you know, 10 days sail testing in December, and we're going to spend 2 weeks here now in January or in March, hopefully, you know, training with the British team, who are ranked number one in the world at the moment, you know. So there's a lot of stuff outside the competition that goes into it, you know. But the weather here is a killer at the moment. Like, it's blowing like hell since, you know, all since Christmas, you know. So it's really difficult to get a slot to get out there here at the moment, you know. But we're hoping that for March, you know, the storms will abate and we'll get out fairly regularly again, you know.
Yeah, fingers crossed. And just in terms of the training and stuff like that, I mean, like say if you had to go training on, like, if you had to go training tomorrow, like, what would that entail?
Well, normally we like to have a second boat out there with us, you know, so that, you know, you're basically, you know, sail trimming, boat handling, mark roundings, you know. It's all a continuous progression, really, like, so. So that, you know, things have to happen automatically in the boat, you know. And, you know, it's getting that level of fluency in the boat is very, very important, you know.
And what about the lads you've taken under your wing? Are they asking you for advice all the time?
They would do, yeah, but they'd be telling me what to do as well, like, you know. They're not short of confidence at all.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just in terms of, like London and the Paralympics there, there just seem to be, I don't know, it kind of opened a lot of people's minds up to people with disability and Paralympics and stuff like that. Have you noticed a big shift in attitude since London, maybe in 2012?
Yeah, I suppose the change in attitude since London has been enormous, because, like, what happened in London really was is that, you know, the media covered it, you know, fairly well, but the general public went mad for it. Like, you know, every venue was sold out, you know, And the public spoke with their feet and they spoke with their own opinion, because you just couldn't get into any of the Paralympic venues. Tickets were being sold on the black market. Like, that's the level of public interest that was there. And the media have all of a sudden woken up to the fact that there's huge public interest in Paralympic sport. And then the TV coverage from Channel 4 was enormous. Like, you know, they were given, you know, in I watched it in the UK myself, because we were based in the sailing village below Weymouth. And like, they had three channels showing different sports simultaneously, like, which is, you know, great. And, you know, the Winter Paralympics now are coming up in Sochi in about 2 weeks' time. And again, all the media rights are being snapped up for that, you know, and the media rights for Rio have been snapped up as well, you know. So the media have followed the public, you know, which is great.
And I suppose, John, very finally, I suppose, congrats again on the award, a Hall of Fame. What's the next thing that you'd like to win?
The next thing I'd like to win is one of the Sailing World Cup events. You know, it'd be nice to win down below in the south of France, you know, it'd be great. But we'll take a win anywhere that we get this year, you know.
Yeah, it was a great award for us to get. When you see the other teams that were offered the award as well, it was a great honour for us, yeah.
I mean, you look back on your year of 2013, I mean, like, can you describe just what an amazing year it was?
Yeah, it was unbelievable, to be honest, to be part of it. Winning the 6 trophies out of the 7. Just a shame we didn't win that 7, maybe, but other than that...
It's just greedy now, in fairness.
I suppose, yeah, maybe so, but that's what we were striving for last year, perfection. I suppose when we went on the run of games and stuff like that, 46 games, you know, we didn't want to be beaten. Got beaten at the end, but other than that, it was an amazing year, and I don't think it will ever be done anytime soon. So yeah, it was a great year for us.
Yeah, is it hard to kind of enjoy a record like that? Because even like I think we spoke to you like last year, and we were talking about that run, and even to hear it again tonight, it's unbelievable, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it was an unbelievable run, and I suppose we didn't really have time to enjoy it at the time, because it was one game onto the next, and John Collar wouldn't let us rest on the laurels at any time during the season. So I suppose we can look back at it now and think it was a great season, but I suppose that was last season now, and we now have this season. Like, we still have the Intermediate Cup to go for, we have the league, a few other cups to go for. Unfortunately, we've lost one or two of the cups this year, but we're still involved in enough cups for it to be a successful season this year for us.
And speaking of John Cotter, he's now left you for Cork City. Can you describe the impact that he had on you last season?
Well, I suppose one man that you forgot to mention there was John Caulfield, of course. He's at the helm there as well with John Cotter. Like, the impact that they had with the club has just transformed the club, really. Like, we want to compete on every level now. Like, you know, even we look at it, like, we have the EA Sports coming up, like a cup again. I think we're playing Waterford Monday week or something like that. You know, we look forward to those games now, like playing in the biggest games we can play, and like try and win every game, you know. And like, before they came along, really, like, we were in the first division, we were just a club just ticking along, whatever. But John Caulfield has completely reformed it, and John Collar took it to another level again, like, where we just didn't want to lose any game, no matter what we were playing in, and formed a squad that was unbelievable, really, you know.
Yeah, like, what about losing players? You see Marco Sullivan, he was playing for Cork City in a friendly during the week against Cove and all that kind of stuff. Is it going to be hard to replace guys like him?
Of course, like, you can't replace a fella like Marky, really. Like, what he's done, for me, he's been the best player at Ireland at that level for the last 7, 8, 9 years, you know. Like, so I was the last time he went out to Cork City, I don't think he really got a fair crack at the whip. Like, this time with John Caulfield and John Cotter, I know, like, that he will do the business for them, like, because I know the player that he is, like, and we wish him the best of luck. And of course, Liam Kearney, that was playing with us as well, like, wish him the best of luck as well. Like, they're two great lads, and Kevin Mulcahy as well, he's out there as well now, like, so, you know, it's nice to have that interest for us as well, like, to go, you know, support Cork City and stuff like that, like, and I hope they have the best of season, like, you know.
So this time in 12 months, we're hoping you'll be getting another Team of the Year award from the Southside Sports Awards.
Well, hopefully, as I said, like, we're still involved in the league. UCC are ahead of us now at the moment. They're 6 points ahead, like, so we have to try and reel them in. They're having a great season, and of course, that's the influence of John Caulfield again, like, you know. You can't but mention him, like, when you're mentioning this, the run they're going on as well. Like, they're in phenomenal form at the moment. They're winning games, you know, 4 and 5 nil, like, you know, even 7 nil, like, there last week. Like, so that's the team now that we have to catch in the league, you know. We have the Intermediate Cup quarter final on Sunday against Belgrove. So hopefully as well we can win that as well, like, and keep our interest in that up to the final as well, like, you know.
Red FM's Big Red Bench. Red FM.
For all the best in sport, tune in every Saturday and Sunday from 6 and check us out online, redfm.ie/BigRedBench.